You are listening to episode number 188 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back after a week off. Welcome back to yet another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, as always and forever will be until the end of time or until death officially comes for me. That got morbid. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy, your captain of all things, your admiral, because I like to see better, of all things Marvel. Joining me, my first mate, Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back. And for the record, these two other guys probably have death coming for them a lot sooner, so I think you're in the clear.
Joining me next is the man who handles the the seam room, Jonathan. Jonathan, welcome back.
Yes, and I think death is coming for Bri if he keeps opening his mouth like that, but that's okay. And I would like to give a shout-out to the Oklahoma State Cowboys for coming up from behind and kicking the crap out of the Sooners. Thank you.
And joining me, Deck Officer Taser, welcome to the show.
By cracky! You young whippersnappers will never get away with it! That
easy, Colonel Stinkmeaner. Easy.
God darn it!
Well, I hope everybody's having
a stink meaner. You're not mean enough for stink meaner. Well, you are, but you're not like, you know, hardcore enough.
He uses the N-word way too much for me.
I hope everybody is having a happy holidays, a Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah. Whatever you celebrate, happy Ramadan, is that a thing? That's a thing, right?
Yes, I think Ramadan is a thing.
Well, I mean, is it a now time of the year thing? Is it? When is it? Or does it fluctuate?
I think 2 months earlier.
Okay, whatever. If you're whatever you celebrate, I hope winter solstice actually.
I'm Jewish, so happy Hanukkah.
Are you actually Jewish?
No.
Okay. No, you just play with the
drink of tequila.
Was it Feliz Navidad?
Feliz
Tomaca.
Oh my God! All right. Enough.
Thank you very much.
If this is your first time listening, I apologize. We are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, comics, video games, toys, and all the other good stuff. So we have some casting announcements, some brief casting announcements that we don't want to take too much time on. Brian, lay us down on who officially got confirmed by the Pope. Because we're Catholics somehow.
Well, considering this guy's a charlatan, I think that might be flying in the face of the Catholic.
Charlatan? A fraud?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, like the man from the
vocabulary words.
Who, me?
Whatever, pagan. Let's go with pagan. Yeah, he's pagan.
Okay.
So, yeah, Marvel came out and confirmed Benedict, who's going to be Doctor Strange.
Dingo-dang Bumberbatch?
Bandersnatch Cumbleforth.
Fingleforth Dingersnatch?
Fizzlethorpe Cumbersnatch.
Hitler on the roofie?
Seriously, we could do this for an hour if we wanted to. Brian, go ahead.
Andy Cucumber.
If I was a rich man.
So, Benedict Cumberbatch has been confirmed to play Dr. Stephen Strange in the forthcoming Dr. Strange major motion picture. And also, it's been confirmed that Fox is closing a deal with Ryan Reynolds to feature on Deadpool, the character who he originated back in X-Men Origins Wolverine. So those are just kind of a couple of things in the
Brian,
works.
Just tell the people how fucking happy you are that Ryan Reynolds is actually going to be playing Deadpool.
I am so excited, okay? You don't even know. I'm, like, trying to
It's bananas.
No. No, it's not bananas.
Okay.
It's chimichangas.
Chimichanga! It's almost as crazy as Deadpool how excited I am. I'm gonna hold it in. Until we finally get a legit confirmation, because it's just a deal talking right now. So once they confirm them, then I'll explode all over the place like a geyser of just manly. Okay,
manly chimichangas. Okay,
indeed.
Yeah, a lot of Boston creams.
I don't have anything to say about Ryan Reynolds officially being cast as Deadpool, the Merc with the Mouth?
I'll say this. He probably won't be Green Lantern again then.
I think that was going to happen anyway.
I want him to be.
No, they're going to go with Johnny Boy, John Stewart.
They should.
What?
I think so.
Yeah. I will say this. With Benedict Cumberbatch, that better be I want to throw in a casting for ancient, the Ancient One. It better be RZA.
Why do you want to make Doctor Strange a terrible movie? John, you're fired. What? John, you're fired.
Okay, well, goodbye.
Pack your bags, go home. If Doctor Strange sucks in November 2016, it's 2016, right?
Yes.
If it sucks, you can blame Jonathan Cartwright, Curtis of the great state of Oklahoma.
Hey.
Look, there is a good play, the Ancient One. All they got to do is put, like, powder in his hair, put some fake gray whiskers on his face, and give him those cloudy eye prosthesis things that he had from G.I. Joe Retaliation.
And some
bam!
Lessons.
Instant Ancient One.
No. Okay, look, I love you guys, but you're going about this all wrong. You're going for the low-quality joke, when really, you should be aiming for the high-quality joke.
Oh, okay. Who, Jackie Chan is the Ancient One?
No, of course not Jackie Chan. That'd be crazy.
He'd be good. I think he could do it.
No. I mean, I'm sure, but I was thinking...
get the guy who played Uncle from Jackie Chan.
I was thinking Pai Mei from Kill Bill could play the Ancient One.
Yeah, as long as I swear to God, if I see an internet post suggesting Ken Watanabe, I'm going to like, oh my God, he can't do every Japanese old man role.
No.
Well, technically, the Ancient One is Tibetan. He's Tibetan. He's Tibetan.
And I don't mean Gordon Liu, the guy who played Pai Mei. I mean, just take Pai Mei from Kill Bill and make him the Ancient One in that movie, and that'll be great.
That's
also he's there flicking his beard all the time.
Yes, he is, and he could just be the sassiest guy. You know, he could make all kinds of racist comments about Benedict for
you
being
guys
white.
You are ruining
shit.
My vision of what Dr. Strange is going to be. I'm going to ruin all of you when it comes out.
No, actually,
you know the shit I had to take on this show for Guardians from this curmudgeon over here? This old bastard.
Look, one, which comes out really, tonight. Do you really expect me to be like that for when Dr. Strange starts hating shit? Really? Me of all people? Come on. All right.
Well, look, you'll probably be as stringent a Dr. Strange critic as I was when I went to go see
here's the difference.
Green Lantern movie.
I'll give the fucking... Okay, so. We'll have to see. November, 2 years. It's a little over 2 years from now. Less than 2 years from now. Before.
We'll be paying attention.
Yes, we will. All my emotion will be chronicled. They've been chronicled for 187 episodes. All right. Oh, not 187. Like 100 and what? 40?
That's a lot.
50? All right. John, anything else, guys, before we move on to the next news topic?
I'm going to say is I actually, all jokes aside, I am looking forward to seeing him as Doctor Strange. While he's not necessarily the person I would go for, I would prefer Oded Ferrer, but, you know, they didn't go that route. I think he'll pull it off. Other than that, again, it's a wait and see. If I have higher hopes for it than that stupid reboot that I like to bitch about, so we'll go from there.
All right. And
I'll say this. I'm not a hater when it comes to Cumbersnatch. I don't watch that British show that he's, you know,
Sherlock.
Sherlock, you mean?
Yeah, that thing. I don't watch that. Detective? You know, it's not my kind of show. And I thought, he was okay in the not Star Trek 2 reboot.
Star Trek 2.5?
Redo, or whatever you want
to
call it.
I like to call it Star Trek 2.5.
I can't say, you know, he'll be good or ill. That was actually the first time I'd ever seen him act. Or do anything. All I can say is I hope he does well, you know, and I don't wish the movie anything because I want to see it happen.
Unless
actually.
It's Guardians of the Galaxy 2, in which case,
you want me to growl?
No.
Because I can growl.
No, be in the Christmas spirit, buddy.
I thought this wasn't even a legit news bit we were just talking about, just a mention.
Whatever. Shut up. Plans change. Moving on. We got even more casting announcements with the new
We do.
Yes, Brian. Who else has got cast? Became casted.
Oh, thank you. I thought you were setting up for, like, wait, I already mentioned my... Yeah, okay. Kristen Ritter got Jessica Jones, everybody. We have our PI of the Marvel Universe, yes. She was in Don't Trust the Bean, Apartment 23 headlining. She's also in Breaking Bad, which I don't know because I've never seen Breaking Bad. And she will be playing Jessica Jones in the Netflix-exclusive series... Jessica Jones, produced by Marvel and setting up for a Defenders miniseries after the four solo series of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist have been played.
Okay, so we officially have Daredevil cast, which is being shot.
Yes.
I've never seen her. I wanted to see the show she was in with Dawson from Dawson's Creek.
Was she the brunette or the other one?
She was the brunette.
Oh, the chick with the black hair? Oh, yes.
She was the main character. Kind
of yeah, the bitch next door, right? Or the bee next door? What was it called?
Oh, so she never wasn't thought. The bee.
Don't. No, she was the bee.
Oh, she was the bee.
Yes, she
is. That was the brunette.
Yeah.
The raven-haired one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. See, that wasn't the main one. Actually, yeah, she was. She was
the blonde, right. Well, whatever. Right. I wanted to see it because it seemed interesting. I've never seen her. If she, because the thing about Jessica Jones is, and I don't know how you fucks are worse than Jessica Jones lore, but I am, that she kind of has a little bit of an attitude about her. Not necessarily like bitchy, but just sort of, look, I don't have time for you. I need to get shit done. Let's do this. And she has zero patience for very few things. But she's not, like, unbearable to be around. She's not like, raving lunatic, everything like that. So if she can bring that edge that Jessica Jones has, because I don't know if this is going to – we don't know if she's going to get her superpowers here or if she's, like, been a superhero in hiding this entire time. We don't know anything about that, so that's completely up in the air too. But I think she could do a good job as long as she brings sort of that Jessica Jones attitude. And if you want to see that Jessica Jones attitude, go read Alias. That's where a lot of, I guarantee you, that's where a lot of this is going to stem from.
And if you want to see the face she makes while taking it in the ass, we can provide you with that too, actually.
Yeah, now that's what I'm looking forward to. Can you imagine her and Terry Crews?
Yeah.
It's not, Terry Crews is not going to be Luke Cage.
Yeah,
Crews for Cage, motherfucker!
Let the dream die, guys. The dream
Crews for Cage!
Dream's over. The dream is over.
The dream will never die.
Dream is over.
Who are you to tell me that my dream won't live? Okay,
I'm the man. I can tell you.
Fucking white man keeping me down.
I'm the man. Well, whatever. I like it, John. What do you think about Kristen Ritter being Jewel?
I'm not really familiar with her because I never did see the bee next door, but I've heard good things about her. So just again. It's a wait and see. I hope she's good and in the role, and hopefully they will reenact that particular famous scene on either her show or Luke Cage's show. We'll just have to go see.
Better yet, that'll be the porn version of Jessica Jones that gets released.
Yeah, that'll be the reason why it's on Netflix.
Uh-huh. The crossover with House of Cards with Kevin.
Crossover with Orange is the New Black.
Oh, wow. Then put Laverne Cox in it.
Just have Jessica Jones be falsely imprisoned and do like a Cage Heat thing, and that'll be perfect. It'll sell itself.
Yeah, then they can have Laura Prepon prey on her.
Oh, my God. All right. This is not the Orange is the New Black podcast. So are we all in? Taser, did you say? What did you say about Kristen Ritter?
Since we're talking about the raven-haired one, yeah, she's tasty, and I like the show. You know, the show was a lot of fun. It got canceled on me, and I was a bit disappointed. I could care less about Dawson and the girl who was the heroine of the show. But she was fun. I mean, she was kind of evil and fun, and it was awesome. Her playing Jessica Jones, I could see her playing that whole, type of hero, because Jessica Jones is kind of like that in the comics. You know, she has that whole, a bit of an exasperatedness to herself. Uh-huh. You know, even having been married to Luke, she's like, oh, really? Oh, I can't believe, oh God, you know, that thing kind of working for her. I think she can pull it off. I still can't wait. I think, didn't they cast Luke Cage
There are rumors.
No, there was a few actors being thrown around, but nothing definitive.
Okay, I thought one name that kind of, you know, jumped out.
Like, and I think they've said that Luke Cage will be appearing in a couple of Jessica Jones episodes before having his own, going off on his own, and then Iron Fist.
Who's the only one at this point
we haven't heard of anything yet.
No problem, then. I can only hope that they make sure to get a nice, big, tall black guy, you know, to pair up against them so that we can get that scene.
So, Vern Troyer. Oh, no, not Vern Troyer. Fuck. That's a white guy. The other.
You suck.
The other short black dude.
Tony Cox, you ass.
Yeah, Tony Cox. Tony Cox is Luke Cage. That's my dream.
He's certainly sassy enough. I'll give him that.
Actually, can you imagine them doing that scene with Mr. Cox and that chick there? He's there yelling at her from behind.
Yeah, favorite kid. And if it was
Terry
Crews,
should we not talk about this? Is ruining the idea of a Jessica Jones porn.
If you could have it, if it was Terry Crews, then they can reenact a lot of his scenes from Mean Girls, where anybody that got involved with him wound up being in a wheelchair for the rest of their life.
Oh, Mean Girls, such
a girls. I mean,
Was it white girls? I was like,
it was white chicks. There you go.
White chicks. Yeah.
They're both fun movies. Okay, so let us know in the comments what you think about Kristen Ritter. Being officially Jewel, a.k.a. Jessica Jones, or alias Jessica Jones.
She wasn't related to John Ritter, was she?
I was wondering that, too, because of the last name.
She is not.
Okay, that's just a coincidence.
I didn't think she was.
R.I.P. John Ritter. I think he's been gone for, what, 10 years now?
Jesus. Yep.
Yeah, about that.
Oh, that's horrible. All right, so, well, we've had fun, but now Taser wants to have some more lulls. Brian, apparently the Fantastic, despite that we haven't had a trailer yet, the Fantastic Four synopsis, I'm not even going to call it a movie, the F4, because it's a tornado, because it's a disaster, see what I did there, has apparently leaked. Brian, word for word, read it.
Yes, sir. And keep in mind, it's very much called the Fantastic Four in full on the synopsis. So just keep that in mind. Taser, if you're going to laugh through the whole thing, I'm not going to do it. So easy, pal. You can laugh afterwards. Quote, a contemporary reimagining of Marvel's original and longest-running superhero team centers on four young outsiders who teleport to an alternate and dangerous universe, which alters their physical form in shocking ways. Their lives irrevocably upended, the team must learn to harness their daunting new abilities and work together to save Earth from a former friend-turned-enemy, Copyright Fox. Yes, that's very much the Coop Fantastic as well. So, in case you missed it, it resembles more the Ultimate Origin for the Fantastic Four rather than the 616 version, as well as, you know, not... I really don't know what to say to this. I mean, let Taser go first.
This movie's gonna suck.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
No, you know what's gonna happen? This movie's gonna make it because somebody's gonna call it young and fresh, and the cast are popular and happening.
Oh, what? You didn't hear about Hipster Von Doom? We talked about him a couple weeks ago.
Hipster buzzwords.
You know what? You know what?
Because you'll have people who don't know anything about the source material. They'll come into it and they'll be like, "Wow, such storytelling! I can't believe!" And you know, it'll make like 175 or maybe even 200 million, and people will be, "Wow, I can't wait for the sequel!" And everybody else, well, people who've read the shit will go, the fuck did they do? You know? Which was basically me with Guardians of the Galaxy. So, yeah.
Yeah, fuck
I can't pal. Wait to see this shit blow up and be awful. The only thing I'm looking forward to is seeing how they do it. I want to watch. I want to see the effects. That I'm looking forward to. But the fact that I'm still not going to get the crash landing. I'm still not getting that. Three fucking movies, and I don't get to see the crash landing.
Why are you so dead set on the crash landing?
The whole idea, while I get that a whole rocket to the moon or whatever, yeah, that's old and dated, but they could update the idea of instead of it being a rocket to the moon or whatever the fuck, it could be a trans light drive. Something, you know, like more sci-fi relevant and you know, kick up a couple of notches for today's, you know, sci-fi comic reader. But still have that whole catastrophe, which causes the whole big, you know, gripping the chair, gut-wrenching, you know, excitement, crash land, and, missed, you know, surprise that you survive, you know, the whole roller coaster thing. That was part of the whole thing with Fantastic Four, at least with their origin. You know, it's like, wow, I can't believe it. And holy shit, look what's happening to us. And that first movie took away the rocket, made it some type of biological experiment to see cosmic rays on plant matter. And, you know, we get to see them prepping for the trip up. They're already there. And then the shit happens and they're already down. We never get to see them travel. And, you know, hesitancy is not the word. It's the exact opposite of the word I want to use. There's no anxiety there. There's no, you know, thrill. You know, there's thrill in that moment. And three movies in, and I'm never gonna get it. You know why?
Nope.
Because Hollywood would just rather focus on the interpersonal bullshit. Fuck the interpersonal bullshit. I'm there to see people get powers, freak out over the powers, figure out how they work, and then, you know, fight Doom because, you know, Doom is all that matters. You know? But, you know, I get that Marvel has tried to move away from the military-industrial complex ideas that was pretty much in almost every origin character. From what makes up the Marvel Universe,
they're trying to beat the commies to the moon. Tony Stark was,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, even Ant-Man worked for the government.
They all
okay?
did at one point.
So
it's just,
I get
it's
that
changing to other things.
And I understand it's the change of the times, and I've mentioned this before. I get that too, but even if it was just like let's say it was a privately funded experiment. You know, still, there could be something that visually, imagine it. You sit there and you get to watch them. You get to watch this brand new craft, you know, take off, and they're going to do something. They're going to get from Earth to Mars in like 20 minutes. You know, this is a revolutionary leap in technology, all brought by young, you know, well, he won't be young, but by Reed Richards and, you know, blah, 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 hoopla and whatever the fuck, and shit goes wrong. You know, you could even keep Sue and Johnny as being semi-intelligent as opposed to the original origin. They could be crewmates, and of course you have Ben as a pilot, but still you have that space thing. I mean, the Fantastic Four made much of their
explorers, not
exactly
superheroes.
You know, that's part of what makes them them. None of the movies have done that so far.
Reed and Sue are scientists, exploring dimensions. That's what makes a lot of the Jack and Stan stuff very fun, because it was exploring shit that not that people hadn't seen before, but it was just the fact that their primary job wasn't fighting villain of the week, villain of the month.
Exactly.
It was exploring new worlds and cultures and finding new things while also dealing with intergalactic threats that were bigger. That was, and I agree with you. Even though I'm not an FF Fantastic Four fan, I apologize for cutting in, but I'm going to do it anyways.
No.
It's, I, the, like, what they don't, like, and I'm the person who says, if you, I'm not, nothing, everything can be, from one thing cannot be translated from one to one. It's just impossible. What you can try to emulate is the feel. And I will agree with you that the first two Fantastic Four movies and this one too have yet to replicate that explore, enhance that exploring side of it. And why? And I can tell you why. Because they want to emphasize the superhero aspect of it. That these are people in costumes and they're damaged. And I get that some people like that, and even I like that to agree. But to me, what would be much more interesting was the fact that this was a team of explorers, scientists, superhero second. And I think that would be much more interesting visually, storytelling-wise, opens the gambit a lot more, and doesn't allow you to fall into the same cliches and traps that normal superheroes movies follow under, and allows you to create something new that the audience has seen. But for some reason, they want to play with the cliches, and they want to continue, as I burp like a non-idiot, they want to play with the cliches, and they want to stick with what's quote-unquote safe with a little bit of movement cam. That's what.
But you realize, of course, that they're trying to make this not about superheroes.
It's about the people. It's not, yeah. It's not, it's, you know, not the so, uniform. It's not.
Exactly. This is a very personal story, which I don't know if I care, really. You know, I mean, again, like I said, I want to see what they do and how they pull the story off. I'm already laughing at the story because I read, I read the UFF origin, and while it was new and it was different and it wasn't bad at all. It was a very interesting and good take on, the formation of. I still like that original one because, again, it had kick. There was no, as a matter of fact, in the UFF origin, there was no, holy, how the hell, because they kind of went, sucked through and came out elsewhere. They had there's no, well, we were in the dimension N, and not saying that they can't expand on that in this movie. I mean, they can, but there's no excitement there. There was no, holy shit, how the hell am I going to get out of this? There's no fireball up their ass. You know, there's no Michael Bay. It lacks.
Are you saying we should give this franchise to Michael Bay? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Are you sure? Because it sounds like that's what you're saying.
No. But I mean, there has to be.
Wow. Have him just direct the opening crash and then hand it over to someone else.
Yeah, so it'd be Michael Bay spaboons. But there has to be a wow factor, and that's not something the UFF origin had. It did not have a wow factor. It was very much, we turned this on and holy shit, they disappeared. And where did they go? We don't know. They showed up elsewhere on the planet. You know, with the original Fantastic Four origin, you had the, oh my God, everything is falling apart and I don't know if we'll live. You know, that's easily transferable to the movie screen. You know, so when I hear this, yeah, you know, chalk up number three. You know, I'm not getting something that makes me sit there and go, whoa, I can't believe. Because I didn't do it with the first two. And I'm not going to get it with this. All I'm going to get is, oh, look, Johnny's black. And Sue and Rita are going to be antagonistic towards each other. And then somehow find common ground to maybe
make up.
That's what I'm going to get. Yeah, I don't care about them. You know, I care about them, but I don't care about them. You know, fuck Reed and fuck Sue and fuck Ben and, you know, fuck Johnny.
Well, the first two are like the idea. They're going to fuck, but, you know, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you got the idea.
I'm just saying, though, that it needs a wow factor. And if they hold true to how they did it in the book, and I mean hold too true to how they did in the book, they might rewrite it and maybe put some in there, in which case I think that'll be better. But if they don't, this movie will get thumbs up, and I'm going to sit there and just, you know, wonder what the fuck I'm going to do for the other 90 minutes of this damn movie. I'm just saying
it
now.
It even is 90 minutes.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, John, what do you think of this? Coherent thoughts, John.
It's kind of hard for me to do with this piece of shit more and more. I'll say this. I have no problem with the Ultimate Fantastic Four origin being done, but they're not really doing that. And the more I hear about it, then they're like, oh, we're going to have a fight with Dr. Doom. Yeah, what are you going to have? Is a fucking forum war, flame war in a forum? Yeah, that's going to be scintillating, you know, movie watching. No. God damn it, I can't really. Oh. Yeah, just pass me. My blood pressure's going up. Every time I think of this, it's like this. Day of the opening movie, they're gonna probably arrest me because I'll be making jokes about using the ultimate nullifier and screaming Arabic nonsense, you know. And I'll just leave it at that. It just, no, oh, god dang. This,
I don't think John's looking
shit.
Forward to yeah. this movie.
Oh, god damn. At least you were at least entertained by Guardians of the Galaxy, weren't you, Taser? I mean, at least
it had moments. I won't lie. This, it had quite a few moments.
It had redeemable moments for you on that.
Yes,
right?
I can attest to that.
This one looks like it's going to have no redeeming moments. I'll probably enjoy being fisted by Kermit the Frog more than I will watching this film. And yeah, I'm going to stop it there because yeah, I just, you know, that or getting porked by, you know, Miss Piggy the other way around with, you know. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
Right, dear.
Your turn. Fucking piece of shit movie. God damn it. All right.
I can't wait till we actually get the trailer. That's going to be a mini event.
2 weeks before the movie comes out.
Oh, that's how you know it's going to be shit. If they release it like a month out before.
Uh-huh. Now, the true sign is when they don't let critics post advanced reviews. That's when.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
That's true.
You
can't post anything until the movie releases. You can't do it. Well, why not? Well, just you can't do it. You can't do it. It's like, oh, easy, pal. How bad can it be? Walk out of there.
It could be like that Captain America movie from 1994.
That'll still have more redeeming value to it than this fucking shit. Okay, anyway, I'm done. I'm gonna.
Roger Corman's Fantastic Four movie will have more redeeming value than this movie. I'm saying it now.
I still maintain that the first Tim Story Fantastic Four will have better shit than this. Granted, I know it's not a high bar I'm shooting for, but you know.
Oh, I'm a fucking piece of shit.
So are we done with the morbid talk?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so please. Let's go ahead and move on to individual reviews, and I'm going to go first on the bat with the new number one, because Iggy apparently doesn't read enough Marvel books anymore, with Angela, Assassin of Asgard, number one. I know that she is related to the Odinson. I didn't read the miniseries where it sort of goes in that. But apparently, brief recap, she is in fact part of the, I don't want to hear any groans, fuckers, the 10th realm that was banished by Odin after a war where Angela was seemingly murdered, but rather taken by one of the Heaven, and that's spelled Heaven, handmaidens, to be raised as an angel. And only till recently did she understood her true origin, that she is not from the 10th realm, that she is from Asgard, and she is the son of Odin, and the child of Freya.
Yeah, she is the son of Odin. All battles for the son of Odin.
Dude looks like a lady.
She is the child of Odin and Freya, okay? And the brother of Thor and half... She is the half-sister of Thor. No, sister of Thor, half-sister of Loki. So here we are. There you go. There's your setup. And she basically told Odin that the next time I see you, I'm going to fucking kill you. And she's also not well... And because she's an Asgardian... The angels don't – they're called angels, actually. They are – she is not wanted by the 10th realm either. So here we are. We have a character who is – basically on the, not on the run, but has nowhere place to go. And we sort of jump in the middle of her seemingly on the run from Asgardian warriors. And I didn't really want to pick this up because I was like, oh, do I really want to read about Angela? But I did because I looked at the cover, and this is where I'm different, that Phil Jimenez is actually doing the pencils for this. And I'm thinking,
wow,
huh, I haven't seen his ass do pencils
in a while.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything in a while, right.
So let alone Marvel.
So I said, okay, I'll do it. And it's a female character, said, okay, fine, fuck it. I will give in. And it was a very, it was okay. The real star of the story was Phil Jimenez. Although, because Phil Jimenez isn't exactly the fastest artist in the world, at least over the recent years, and that's fine, and this is who he is. They actually got another artist to do sort of a flashback sequence. Her name is Stephanie Hans. You've probably seen her work. You just won't recognize her name. To do sort of a background on not necessarily Angela, but an event from Angela's past that connects her with another angel of the 10th realm of heaven.
So basically she filled in some pages.
She filled in some pages, so that way I guess the book wasn't delayed in Jimenez.
Yeah.
If you look at the pages Jimenez does, they're gorgeous. They're stunning to look at. He does some great layouts, awesome detail in there. It's Jimenez. So if it keeps the book on schedule and it's not like the same scene where it changes, it works structurally within the book, it's fine with me. I've always said that about two artist books, that as long as it's clearly determined, okay, we're going to a different scene now or it's a different thing, that's fine. You know, I think he only did about a couple, but either way, the art that was there was good. So she's being chased by what it reveals to be are the Odinson, Sif, and the Warriors Three. And it's like, well, what the fuck did she do? You know, like, she's in another place. I can't remember exactly what it was. And it turns out, at one point, she has now stolen the new heir of Asgard, which is this little baby. Not sure if it's a boy or a girl, and she kidnapped it for unknown reasons that we know yet. So yeah.
Don't kick the baby.
So somewhere Odin has another heir apparent, because apparently I guess Thor is not the heir apparent anymore because he's not Thor anymore, I guess.
He's not worthy.
Yeah, he's not worthy. So Odin and Freyja popped out another one, and so now and Angela kidnapped her for unknown reasons, which I think hopefully will be resolved as the issue goes on, that we see why she did it and what is the motivation for doing this, because it just seems
jealousy. Like,
we'll see. Angela does come off as a character, a very angry woman who has very little patience for anything. Like anything it looks like anything will set her off. So not a lot of deepness in her character at all. She kind of feels one dimensional. You know, at least here she does. She's just angry at the world, angry at Odin, angry at this, angry at that.
Did she mention being angry with like undead black guys with cowls?
No mention.
Who hang out?
I don't think they can mention Spawn legally.
Dead Alley. Okay.
Because I think even if Todd McFarlane sees a hint of Spawn, he'll fucking sue somebody.
Okay, I just wonder.
No.
And then wind up selling it all to Disney anyway because they have more money.
yeah.
But I thought it was a good issue. It wasn't great. It kind of the cliffhanger hooked me a little bit. It's like, well, where does this go? So I'll at least try out the second issue when it comes out. And plus, if Phil Jimenez is going to be on it, that's also a definite plus. I give it a 3 out of 5, though. The huge 3 comes from the art. The words are hard. It was a very...
Words are hard.
It was an okay issue. The art made it a lot better than it should have been. It just felt very basic. And Angela, just as a character, just seemed very... Either no characterization, or if it was, I am angry at the world, and I will kill anybody who gets in my mind, which is hypocritical of coming from me, who is a fan of the Punisher. So who knows? There you go. That
sounds like she's got typical female issues.
Oh damn.
Oh,
that's right. I said it.
All right. Well, there you go. That's my review for Angela, Assassin of Asgard. It's such a weird title because she's not. Unless maybe she will be at the end of the end of the arc, but. At this point, She is not working for anybody. She is not an assassin of Asgard. So there you go.
I mean, there's no little old lady telling her what to do?
No, there's not a little old lady telling her what to do.
Does she have a white hood and a hidden blade? And does she kill historical figures?
No. There are some nice fights.
Is she incredibly glitchy and shouldn't have been released at this moment in time? And should have been bugcasted further?
Here's another thing about Angela. I'm surprised they didn't give her a costume, because her costume screams 90s.
That was the point.
No, I get that, but like, I'm surprised she hasn't gotten a redesign. Like, I'm surprised.
Oh, that'll probably happen.
You know,
it's like
looking at her and looking at everybody else, I'm like, you don't belong here visually. You just contrast with everything. So I'm kind of hoping for an update. So there you go.
She'll probably get, like, you know, that whole sexy armor thing going on by the end of the first story arc or something.
Not necessarily sexy armor. I mean, technically, she has armor on. It's just,
well, yeah, but I'm saying they will give her sexy armor.
All right, we'll see. All right.
No. Actually, look at what they did to Gamora. They got rid of her sexy outfit. So it'll probably happen to Angela at some point. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, she also has a... The way Filomena, she has really big poofy red hair. Like poof, like 80s glam.
Yeah, that was one of the things I liked about the character, the big red hair.
The poofy hair. It's just, if you just go flip through it, it's worth the buy for the Jimenez art alone. I will say that. All right. So, John, you're up next.
All right, I'm doing Thanos versus Hulk issue 1. And written and drawn by Jim Starlin, with inking by Andy Smith. Frank Diamata is the color artist, and V.C. Travis Lanham is the letterer. There you go, West. There's the information you always like to hear us say. I will say this. Pretty good issue overall. It starts out with Tony Stark going, okay, Director Hill, where the hell is Bruce Banner? And she's like, got a smug look on her face. She's like, you know, we're just, you know, giving him a vacation and stuff, you know, all that. And it's like, it's not like we can control him anyway. And then they realize, well, he just disappeared off the planet. And they're showing footage, you know, because they keep track of Banner and all that. This happens before or during the continuity-wise, you know, in between, you know, during Indestructible Hulk, before he becomes Doc, whatever the hell he's doing right now, and the Thanos Infinity Revelation graphic novel. But this shows them on a bike, and all of a sudden they see this guy teleport and onto the bike and stab him with a needle to knock, you know, to try to knock him out. And then Iron Man's like, wait a minute, what the hell? What's that? I can't believe this. I know the kidnapper. It's somebody named, the guy's, believe it or not, his name's Pip the Troll. Something's not right here. And yeah, it goes downhill from there. They talk about Pip, and you know how the last time they saw or heard anything about him was when he was a private inventor working for a detective agency called X Factor, which now makes me want to pick up that title just to see what the hell how the hell they managed to put him in there. And they're just all wondering what's going on. And so next thing you know, you see Bruce waking up, and he's like, "Whoa, who, what?" And you see him looking at him. You see Blastar, this insect-looking thing, kind of looks like something from World War Hulk, but it's not. And Pip the Troll going. Blaster's like, wait a minute, I still don't see why this scrawny whip is so valuable. He don't look that much to me. And Pip goes, Blaster, I'd say that impression's only got about a 30-second shelf life. And they, get him all, you know, we want the prisoner alive, hold your fire. And the Banner gets pissed off, turns into Hulk, and Hulk's like, where's Hulk? You know, and then they go ahead and use the this neuralizer they had to knock the Hulk out, so that way they can keep him contained. And when you find out why Pip went ahead and kidnapped him, he was like, his girlfriend got kidnapped, so he gets his girlfriend back. He's like this blue bar girl. And yes, we'll put the seats and everything in the upright position, put everything up and get ready for landing. But he teleports away with her. You see, and it's like, well, yeah, attention, Kmart shoppers. Walmart is taking over. You know, anyway. But then you see the next scene, you see the Hulk going, where is here? And you know, he's in a middle plane with the Hulk and with Bruce Banner. And they're just like, not sure what's going on. And Pip's talking to the girl, and he's like, well, I can't do this and that, but I gotta get him back somehow, or else I won't be welcome on Earth for the Avengers. And he's like, well, Warlock's dead. Gamora and Drax would be perfect for the job if it only involved beating the snot out of somebody. Moondragon's got the wrong attitude for it, so, well, this only leaves the big guy. And she's like, you don't mean I do, and he is not the easiest character to massage. He's like, well, I'll see you later. And, you know, she's like, I'll be right back. And she's like, are you leaving me in this dump? And then she's like, well, hey, Blondie, how'd you like to buy a lady a drink? And the blonde looks a lot like Quasar, you know, Wendell Vaughn's character. So I'm assuming he's alive and running around somewhere.
Yeah, he's alive.
Okay, because last I heard he had died. But
no, he survived the annihilation.
Okay. But Pip teleports to Thanos' ship, and Thanos is like, what the hell are you doing here? Like, why do you violate my privacy? You know what happens. You know what happens the last time I did something to you. And he's like, okay, I screwed up. I need your help. I need you to help me rescue Bruce Banner from Annihilus. And, you know, Thanos was like, why would I deign to do that? And he's like, for old time's sake? And Thanos is like, do you recall how after the last time you disturbed my solitude, I lobotomized you? And perhaps repeating that procedure will produce more lasting results. And Pip was like, okay, I take that as a big note of the assist request. And Thanos is like, be gone. So he teleports. And he goes, I'm going to remember this, big guy. The next time you need a teleporter, call Nightcrawler. And then you see Thanos sitting there looking at screens of the Hulk and Banner. And he's like trying to see what's going on. He's hacking into the negative zone network and trying to figure out what they're doing. And Pip's like, oh, I'm glad I managed to manipulate him, because he doesn't want anybody becoming a bigger threat than he is. And then you go to this next scene, and you see Blastar walking along with all these insects, you know, bringing the Hulk in into the deal to as ordered. And then you see Annihilus pop up going, yes, I'm pleased, and I'm happy to see him. And then when he walks out, it's like mini-me as Annihilus. I mean, he's like small. But then again, you know, he probably died, and he's being reborn. And he's trying to use the Hulk, I guess, to regain his, more might. And then the Hulk, he's like, Hulk will not die here. And he's like, and Banner's like, yeah, right. From your lips to God's ears. Stupid Banner, Hulk. You go railing to the heavens, you better expect a bit of mocking. The Hulk looks at him like, say what? He's like, Beauty Banner is not afraid of dying. Why are you not scared? And Banner's like, well, I guess I just stopped fearing death a while back about the time I first met you. Got it? Hulk was like, stupid attitude. And then they're talking, and then Thanos manages to gets this deal to where he can hack into the network. And then basically you see Hulk going, there must be a way to get out of here. And then Thanos is like, it's a futile dream, Behemoth. Who? Better to accept your fate and prepare yourself for the inevitable termination. So it ends with it going, duality, next issue. I will say this. I don't know what's going on with Pip, because I know that he had I remember he had to have the Infinity Gem in order to be able to teleport, so I guess that was just a residual effect left on him, which that's cool. I'm not going to, nitpick on all that. I highly recommend this issue, because I will say this. There is very little that Jim Starlin has ever done that I don't like. There's a couple of things here and there that I may disagree with what he does or how he does things, but anytime we get to see Jim Starlin write and draw and do Thanos, I'm there, because his Thanos is probably one of the better characterizations of the character out there. And you know, I don't like seeing anybody else write him, because they don't always get him, correct. Starlin does. And not only that, but I love his art. I mean, yes, I'm old school, but I love his art. It holds up. It's nice to see, classic artist, you know, come back and do some stuff, you know, especially with what he has done in the past. There is a bit of a odd Alan Davis look, you know, lookish there, but it just, you know, but it's not a complaint. It's just, that was just kind of odd seeing that. I will probably definitely have to go ahead and I will continue reading this title because, one, it's a miniseries. Two, it's Jim Starlin doing Cosmic. You gotta love it. So I give it a four out of five because it's not entirely perfect. I had a little bit of continuity issues with it, but, you know, I can gloss over that. So there we go. And I guess next up is going to be Taser.
What? It's my turn.
Yep. No. I don't think they want you falling asleep again, buddy.
You know, Lord knows you could put him to sleep, John.
I know.
Ooh.
Oh, I can't wait to hear your review, you Boston cream pie.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
Oh yeah.
Taser though, tell us about the Black Priest, and that's not as racist as it sounds.
Hey, I just did a review about Raisin. So.
Well, you know, Martin Luther King. Now let me stop.
Father Gabriel, that bitch.
Fuck you all. I'm going to Canada.
New Avengers number 20, volume 3, number 27.
Ooh, we're listing volumes now.
Yeah, because, you know, you actually have to kind of say stuff like that. And wait. Hold on. I have to do the West info, because yes. West cares, and we West like camp. To satisfy West. Writer Jonathan Hickman, artist Szymon
Kudryntsy.
Just call him Goodwrench and get it over with. There you go.
You have the issue number. You can look it up yourself. Yes.
Well, I mention this because honestly, this person, because I'm not sure if it's male or female, this person's art kind of varies between decent details and then kind of fudgy. You know, at one point, I kind of got confused. I'm like, wait a minute, did the art change on me or something? It was very strange. It wasn't bad. It was just different, you know. But, you know, be that as it may, you know, it was still, all in all, it was a fun book. I'll say that, because there was reveals. There was reveals. Well, as if you've been following this storyline, as you may know, the New Avengers, in the midst of Captain America trying to hunt down the smart guys, a lot of the other Avengers, like, you know, Cannonball and what the hell was his name? Sunspot and some of the others decided to go, you know what? Screw that. We need to take and address the whole Earth's dying. You know, address the whole Crisis on Infinite Earths thing. Oddly enough, that's very appropriate calling it that. we need to figure out why this is happening and, you know, see if there's a way that, you know, we can stop it. You know, so they, you know, they have, actually, it's quite a few different things that they have going on, and one of which is the strike team, which consists of Hyperion, Thor, or Odin's son, Starbrand, Nightmask, Abyss, and like all of the variants. Yeah, that guy. The yellow dude with the horns and all of the other ones. The multitude of them. And they decide to jump through the portal to go to supposedly where the genesis of, you know, what was causing all the Earths to go crunch. So it kicks off with them coming out of the portal, and, you know, they're in the realm of the Black Priests, and it's like, attack, you know, Black Priests, they kill with the word. And you see these guys, they just kind of like, they say symbols, and, you know, they put their hands up, and, you know, the fight is on, you know, and they've kind of got,
is it on like Donkey Kong?
It's on like Donkey Kong. You know, I mean, the battle is joined. Thor and Hyperion show up, and, you know, things is, you know, looking a bit weak, but Thor pulls out, like, the hidden weapon, and this must have been a storyline from Avengers that I didn't read, because I know it didn't happen in New Avengers, where there must have been another Thor.
I can actually explain that if you want me to just cut in real quick.
Go ahead. It actually confused me a bit.
For the sake of simplicity, think Mirrorverse Avengers, where they're the bad guys.
Oh, they have beards?
Some of them, yeah.
Beards and mustaches.
Yeah, in the wrong place, yeah, something like that. So, yeah, Mirrorverse Avengers, where they're dressing like the good guys, they talk like the good guys, but they go about doing bad things. And so the Thor in that universe got his power from being unworthy. And that's
See that, and I still kind of went, wow, that seems kind of messed up. But what really kind of made me laugh for a bit was he takes off the shredded cape that he has, and, you know, he slams down the axe, and he pulls out the, you know, this version of Mjolnir, and it's Thor, Thorr, and it actually says, whosoever holds this hammer, if he be unworthy, shall possess the power of Thor.
Oh, God.
So, boom, you know, he, you know, transforms into Chris Hemsworth. And I'm not making that up. He actually looks like Chris Hemsworth, you know, which, you know, could be good or bad, depending on whether you like the Thor movies. And I thought it was more funny than anything else, because, you know, Marvel's trying to make the comics like the movies now. But anyway, and Thor is like, yes, the battle be joined. I have a hammer now, and hammer strikes. Yeah. And, you know, they're knocking priests stupid, and, you know, the priests try to rally, and, you know, they're coming up with counter strikes to it, and it looks like the priest might be on the ropes until all of a sudden one priest comes out. And, you know, the multidimensional force, they're ready for him. And they're ready to do some damage until, oh snap, we can't move. What the hell just happened? And this guy, he doesn't say, like, the one symbol like all the others, because they say one symbol and then stuff happens. This guy, he says a bunch of stuff, and he kind of stops everybody. You know, we're talking Thor, Abyss, and all of them, and they're like, what the? Oh, God, we're toast. And then he takes off his helmet, and his helmet, oddly enough, his helmet was like the helmet of the Timothy Hunter character from that DC-esque Earth that they killed a while back, that, you know, Stephen Strange went and called up Cthulhu and wiped
out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember that one?
You know, that was good times, yeah.
Yeah, that helmet of Naboo-esque mask.
But not really, because...
But not really. And, you know, this character, he takes off what looks like the same mask, and it's Doctor Strange underneath. Yeah.
Doctor Strange, what are you doing here?
And Doctor Strange with a smile on his face, just like, hey, welcome, my old friend. Welcome to my sanctum. Guys.
Like, wow, the sanctum.
Yeah, that was like a nice big, what the, huh? So, you know, they, you know, they retire inside, and then they start explaining stuff. Nightmask explains how they tracked them, and, you know, Doctor Strange reveals that he has been behind what's been going on. Apparently, the Black Priests are like a multi-dimensional scalpel, you know, that he's been using to kind of cut away the dead stuff to kind of help the universe heal, because he was a surgeon. He's actually been working to try to fix, you know, what's been happening on such a massive scale that we had no clue. Because, yeah. And, you know, Nightmask realizes that, okay, so we've come to the wrong place. Can you help us get to the right place? Doctor Strange is like, well, you know, actually, I was working on that myself, and what I found is that, actually, your timing could not be better. You know, as I have convinced my fellow priests that we also need to strike out against our enemies, blah, blah, and blah. So basically, there's two things that, you know, they come to determine need to be done. And should we go after it as one combined force, or should we divide our forces and divide and conquer, blah, 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 blah. And we don't find out what it is because, you know, drama. But basically, Doctor Strange takes and he pulls out an Othello piece. Remember that game, Othello? Who doesn't remember that game, Othello? So, yeah.
I don't.
I do.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Two people. And he pulls out an Othello piece and coin flip time, you know. And I mean, that's really where they ended with that. However, the other storyline in this book had to do with Doom. And remember, Doom had that map marker piece that fell from that one Earth like way back in the day. Well, he's been doing stuff and doing stuff and doing stuff. And he pulled in the Mad Thinker, and the two of them have been doing stuff. And they ended up bringing in Molecule Man because the resonances and, you know,
because all this shit wasn't enough. You needed to add in fucking Unstable Molecule Man.
Exactly.
Yep.
Who really does look unstable here? You know, the last time I saw the Molecule Man was oddly enough within the pages of New Avengers, but it was with Osborn when him and Sentry fought. And then we come to find out that Sentry isn't actually super strong or anything. He just has Molecule Man's powers, which is such a letdown. But anyway, I digress. They've been him, Mad Thinker, and Doom been using Molecule Man to probe the rock fragment that's supposed to be a map maker marker and figure stuff. And apparently, Molecule Man, as unhinged as he is, has been working on making a Doom helm mask, and has also, I believe, figured out where that the genesis of that map marker piece, where it lies or whatever, because during the middle of his inane, you know, ramblings and, you know, Mad Thinker and this subordinate talking, they disappear along with all of the test equipment. They just kind of go poof, you know, disappear. They're gone. Like Kevin Spacey, just like that, he was gone. anything involving the Molecule Man usually ends up being something like, oh no, jeez, because he's one of those characters that they stopped using because they made him way too powerful, you know, which I kind of
cough, like. Cough, Dark Avengers, cough, cough.
Fair enough. But, yeah, apparently, so Doom's on the trail to find out exactly, you know, what's going on. And I guess the results of this will be what happens when Doom ends up showing up with his Avengers, because stuff. This was actually a fun book, though. The art was... It wasn't awful, but it was... It kind of shifted a bit. Like, I kind of expected, you know, certain details to be what they were, and it was like almost everything ended up being unfocused. Like, you know, there was no anchor. Like the, as a matter of fact, yeah, I think the artist was his own anchor, which kind of makes sense when you look at it. But it was an interesting. The art was interesting. It wasn't bad or anything. It was just like, oh, okay. But when Thor ends up becoming Thor and turns into Chris Hemsworth, that was like, wow, really? They went there? All right, fine, fuck it. You know, you jump back in the roller coaster and keep going along for the ride. Story-wise, it answers some things, which I think kind of needed to be done. You see that, yeah, Doctor Strange probably, I don't know if he actually had much of his soul left to begin with, but yeah, he's probably sold everything and then some now. And Yeah, we're getting closer to finding out exactly who's behind screwing over the multiverse. So with that idea in mind, thinking that, you know, Hickman's actually moving closer to his penultimate finale, plot-wise anyway, I'll give this 4 out of 5 Warriors. This was a fun book. The plot moved. It didn't feel light. It was a solid read, you know, if you paid for it. if you're reading New Avengers, I don't think you'll be disappointed with this book. And if you're not, I would actually say pick this up in the trade, because the storyline that he's, you know, Hickman's putting together here is actually pretty interesting, and it's worth paying heed to. So there you go.
Hooray! Doom to the rescue. Turn.
Yay, Bri.
Okie dokie, then. I'm doing Captain America and the Mighty Avengers numero dos. Just a bit of backstory real quick. The Mighty Avengers were
Black guy in the crew from now on? Just wondering.
Well, the funny thing is Captain America doesn't factor all that much into this issue. He was more in the first issue, but he wasn't really touched upon much in this one.
Oh, so he's in the back of the bus this issue, huh?
That being said, if you want to, the Black guy can also refer to Luke Cage, who has a very big role in this issue, and has probably the biggest dick in the entire book, but we'll see.
Well, Jessica Jones knows that. Oh!
Well, we'll get to that. Hang on to your hats, ladies and germs, because here we go. So, Mighty Avengers, I didn't read the series back when it first started. It was formed in the wake of Infinity, I think, and they kind of took it like a Heroes for Hire concept. They have a call station set up where you can call in and report crimes that the Mighty Avengers will look into at no additional cost to anybody. Sort of like Heroes for Hire, but without the hire part. So this is in the wake of the Axis event, which inverted Luke Cage's alignment with heroism and villainy and such. So pretty much, in between stopping a gang of high-tech rollerblading bank robbers, I'm not making even part of that up. Yes, the Fast Five. Gold Rush, Silver Ghost, Red Line, who only shouts Red Line, Green Light, and the Blue Streak.
So Transformers.
Kind of, yeah. Part Fast and Furious, part Transformers, but yes, they're on like jetpack rollerblades and they're robbing a bank, and the Mighty Avengers intervene, and you get a taste of everyone's power set. It's used to help people who haven't read the book before kind of latch onto these characters and be like, oh, this is what they can do. Okay, fine. Anyway, it's funny as hell because they actually, most of the members get run over by these rollerblading goofballs, and let me tell you, it is hilarious. I forget who it is, and oh yeah, Spectrum. She's the one that actually stops them. She can turn light into radiation. And
the old Captain Marvel, the second Captain Marvel.
Yes, actually, yeah. Is it Monica Rambeau? Is that who that is?
Yeah,
Monica Rambeau. Shit. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
she
it's her.
She has dreads now.
Yeah.
Instead of the Jerry Curl.
Well, actually, she's got the pixie cut going on this issue.
Oh, really?
Really. Oh, so it's her, the second generation Power Man and White Tiger. It's Kalu, a black magician. He's not black, though. He's Asian. So, you know, take from that what you will. And heading up the heavy hitters is Blue Marvel and She-Hulk. I'm shipping them without even fucking realizing it. So, yeah, they're the heavy hitters. And pretty much it's Spectrum that puts them all in the place. But that's not the good part. Basically, we learn that the main Avengers, the ones who are all turned into Mega League douches, have been watching these guys, and they've been, of course, in contact with Luke Cage because he's also part of the main roster. And they're trying to figure out what to do with them because in the last issue, they're sort of targeting them as bleeding hearts. They know that they're one of the main, you know, people who are going to be sympathetic to the cause of anyone who isn't them. And, you know, they don't see him really as much of a threat. But Tony is pissed because they're infringing on his trademark, apparently, which is something he's very upset about. Well, the funny thing is, too, he apparently turns into Gatsby because he keeps referring to Captain America as Sport every single time. He only calls him Sport. So Captain America is now Tobey Maguire, and Tony Stark is Jay Gatsby. So moving on. picking up from the last issue where it was kind of like a cliffhanger, but it wasn't really because you could see the writing on the wall, Luke Cage decides to sell the Mighty Avengers to this guy, Jason Quantrell, who's apparently the head of the super evil corporation, questionable motives, and he's faced off against the Mighty Avengers before, but now Luke has gone and sold him the Mighty Avengers brand, the Heroes for Hire trademark, sold him everything. And what I love about this is he's such an unrepentant, greedy douchebag about the whole thing. Where is it? You need legal aid. You should get a damn job and pay for it. You need your kids fed. Same answer. Get a job. I ain't your Santa. You need a job. Fuck you. You are not my problem. From here on out, we get paid for everything. Like, he is such an unrepentant dude. He's, like, all blinging bitches now, even though he doesn't have any bitches. But wow. when he tells them who he sold them to, the team reasonably freaks out. And then Jessica Jones steps in, and she kind of bitches him out in front of people, where it's like, he one of the things he throws in is that he's doing this to help build a future for his baby girl, and she's like, don't you dare talk about her like that to justify your actions, you know? You're apparently not my husband because you came back all crazy after that Axis event. But he's like, baby, you know, this is a Porsche for a sweet 16. This is her house in the hills. This is everything for the rest of her life. This is what I'm doing for her. And Jessica Jones turns around and says, I don't care. You're fired. And Luke Cage is kind of like, excuse me? What the hell is that supposed to mean? Turns out when Luke Cage built the Mighty Avengers brand, She-Hulk did a lot of the legal work, and Luke Cage didn't have a lot of time to read it all because he was out there helping people. So turns out that the whole thing is a cooperative, and he can't legally sell the brand or anything by himself. So not only does he not have access to the Mighty Avengers brand by himself, but Heroes for Hire is half-owned by Jessica Jones, as well as Danny Rand's portion. And the Mighty Avengers brand is owned by all the other Avengers on the team, so legally, he can't do shit. And so pretty much what she says is, the only thing you really ever had to sell was yourself. And he's kind of like,
ooh.
You know. And she kind of walks away. He's like, you're making a mistake, Jen. You know about that, right? And she just tells him to get out. And if this is really who you are, you can get out of my life. And he just kind of stands there, and he's like,
ooh.
You'll change your mind, Jen. When I bring home that first million, you're going to change your mind. And he kind of stomps out of there. Ooh. And he's met in the streets where it's like, okay, so I take it didn't go over very well. Does that mean you're joining the rest of us in our next course of action? And he pretty much says, my baby's in there. You harm a hair on her head, her or her mother, and I'll kill you in your sleep. Aside from that, yeah, let's play it your way. And it's the fucking Avengers crew just hanging out outside ready to knock down the fucking door. So that ends issue number 2 of Captain America and the Mighty Avengers, written by Al Ewing West and illustrated by, Luke Ross and Iban Coelho, I think that's how they say his name, and Rochelle Rosenberg on color.
Rochelle
Rosenberg.
Wasn't that the name of Buffy's sister and Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
That was her best friend, and you're thinking of Willow Rosenberg.
No, Michelle Trachtenberg. She was.
Oh, you're thinking of the actual Jew. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, she was fine. Actually, both were kind of pretty.
Well, she's a kid, so I can't say that.
Well, legally now.
You can say that, and I can't. So.
Yeah, Charger Minor, right? So, yeah, that was issue number 2 of the Mighty Avengers. It's a solid read. It's got a lot of good stuff going for it. The humor elements and the grounded of the character, the grounded nature of the characters, especially when they're taking on the Fast Five, the rollerblading high-tech thieves. It's just hilarious the way they deal with it. And seeing Luke Cage just coming to be like, fuck you, I'm out, it's really, really funny. Although, I do kind of enjoy that he has his whole evil alignment thing rooted mostly in, you know, what he wants for his family. And it's nice to me because it proves it's not just, like, evil for the sake of being evil. It's this thing that takes root, and he's legitimately thinking, this is for my wife, this is for my daughter, this is for them. So it's not just like, I'm selling this to the most evil corporation I can find. It's not that. He says outright he's doing it for his Jessica and for Danny.
Yeah, he has a reason for doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's still doing it. Okay.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, where he's very much blinging bitches, sans bitches, because he's dressed in a nice suit. He's got the necklace and the rings, sharp glasses. He's got everything. He's legit.
He's blingity bling bling.
But I actually really enjoyed the issue. I'm definitely going to be picking up the next run. I'll stay through at least until the Axis stuff is over, and then we'll see how that fallout goes. But I give it a solid 3 out of 5, 4 easy. I mean, it was just a really enjoyable read, and I recommend it to anyone who digs Axis, digs Luke Cage, digs the new Cap. It's fun stuff. So
if you want Cap, just read all new Captain America, really.
Well, this is Dick Captain America, though.
Yeah, but nobody really.
I mean, sure, the last issue where the Plunderer was stealing money for orphans. It was great.
What the fuck is
this
the
actually
Plunderer?
Sounds like an old school story, actually.
Who the fuck is the Plunderer?
No, he's one of the dudes that I think he got capped by Punisher during Civil War. I think he was one of those guys.
Whatever. Okay. That does it for our show. to give you an update on our holiday schedule, next week will be our last episode, not period, but the last episode. No, you won't even know it's the last episode. I just won't post them anymore. Haha.
No!
Next week will be our last episode on 2014 before we all go on our holiday break. Or basically, you know, I'm actually going to be leaving my house. I'm actually going to be going on vacation elsewhere to visit people.
Woo!
To visit a very close friend of mine, so I will not actually be anywhere near my house.
He's just going to see Mr. Dragon.
No. Shit.
Walk across the trailer park. Hey, Dragon, you home?
He's
not my bae. Yeah, I just said it. I just said bae on the podcast. First,
he's going to go see his Boomhauer.
So this is how it's going to work. I know I've stated before on the podcast that our countdown to our top 10 personal favorite Marvel stories starts with episode 289, which is obviously next week. Well, after looking at the schedule and how everything worked, I thought it would be kind of stupid to start things and take a break. I figured it'd be better, at least if everything lines up, to do an NC session as much as possible. So the top 10 Marvel list will officially start with episode 190. So that's when it's going to start, and all the way to count down to the magical number that is 200. So there you go. If you have any questions for us, you know, we're always available via social media. Taser's on Facebook. Brian's on Facebook as well. I'm on Twitter at Marvelous Iggy. You're at least going to get one more game review if I can beat Bayonetta in time. Possibly, if not, it'll be replaced with another review altogether. I haven't decided yet. So, yeah. Also, and this is a shameless plug for me, I was part, and this came out about a month ago, but I'm going to bring it up now. It's the holiday season. I was part of a YouTube project called Thanks Gaming, where I shared a very, very personal story about a very, very, at least, dark period of my life, and then how a very, very special Game Boy Advance game helped me through all that. So please go check that out at youtube.com/ the Lord Jackal. That is the user That is the YouTube channel. And while you're there, also check out the other Thanksgiving specials, not just mine. There are some really wonderful stories and inspiration and just all-around cool people who show you why games are cool and games are fun, while we all love video games. So there you go. That's
Yay, games!
That is my social networking for today.
Yay!
Hooray!
Games!
You have anything to say before we leave?
Yeah, I'm going to try and remember for our next to last show. I saw Big Hero 6. I don't think I actually reviewed it. So I'll do that for our next show before we go on vacation, because I do think, you know, we should do that. I know we talked about it before we did a show, but I didn't, you know, none of us have actually mentioned the show, mentioned a movie for the show. So I plan to do that. Sorry, I plan to do that. I'll just say for right now, it was a fun movie. Okay. So,
Brian, you have anything to say? You want to say farewell to everyone's favorite rooster?
Moment of silence, please, for motherfucking Pollo. It's an image thing. I know we're Marvel, but take a moment out. You know, give thanks for what he's done and who he saved. And God bless you, Poyo. May flights of chickens sing thee to thy red. Okay.
He went like Gwen Stacy.
Oh, that was awful.
Oh, really? I thought he went like Beth from The Walking Dead.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. I hope you're having a very happy holiday. And we will see you all for one last time for 2014 with next week. Stay safe, everybody.
Bye-bye!
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time, yes, the most wonderful time.